Welcome back to Castle Comps, episode 114. Today, we have the world's ranked 69th scav. We have the man himself, Bobber Down. Bobber, how are you doing today, man?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
It's beautiful Easter Sunday. Do you have anything fun planned for today? Are you going to like do the family thing? Are you going to go take your pole out into the water and see what you catch? Do you have anything
I'm probably just going to play some Tarkov, dude. Yeah. Hell kids yeah. Upstairs playing Fortnite and everyone else at church. So, you know.
So, as somebody with a little child, what would you say is harder to teach? The patience of fishing or the patience when it comes to FPS games?
Because there's a lot of patience in both. Definitely the patience in fishing. Yeah, 100%. My kid plays Fortnite and Rust, so he's quite the toxic gamer.
When you say that, does he like? Does he do little dances around the house, or does he do like gamer talk?
No. Well, he's 16, so he's officially too cool for me.
Fair.
Yeah. Basically, the last time he asked me to play Fortnite, he built me into a box, made one of the walls a window, and emoted and shot me through the window. And I was like, "Well, I'm gonna just take a break from playing with you for a while."
Kids are funny like that.
Something else, dude.
My oldest one is 3. I have a 3-year-old and like a 7-month-old. And the 3-year-old will do something where we'll put on like Bluey, and then she'll like sing the song, and then she'll put her hands over her mouth. It's like, "You don't sing." It's like, "Oh, okay. What the fuck?" What is this nonsense? I put this shit on. I already get the fucking attitude at 3, man. It's awesome. So, from somebody who's been there, done that with all the fun of raising a kid, at what age did you start getting the sass?
I didn't really ever get the sass. I actually still have the whole fear of God thing. I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but especially because he outgrew me. He outgrew me when he was like maybe 13 or something. Maybe 12 even.
That's the fun of being short. I'm 5'6". Like, Portuguese people don't die. We shrink out of existence. So I know my daughter is going to be taller than me. And it's going to be like, "Clean your room." They're going to be looking up, screaming at them and shit.
Yeah, my kid's 6'1". So he's got...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. he's got like 7 inches on me.
It's probably got reach too, if it ever comes down to that. Like, oh god,
it's kind of nice. Yeah, I can be like, "Hey man, grab that thing for me." Like, all
right, right. That's the beauty of being short, is having somebody tall. Like when I go to TwitchCon and I meet Toadster Tweets, that man's tall as fuck. We're gonna look weird as shit walking down the halls.
Is he really that tall?
He's tall. He's a tall man, and I'm a short man, so we're gonna be very easy to spot at the con. So, Bobber Down, are you going to TwitchCon this year?
Oh yeah, I'll be there. I've been the last 2 years. So I went to San Diego my first year, then went to Vegas last year. And it was lots of fun.
So being someone who's gone to both San Diego and Vegas, what would you say was the better experience?
I don't know if there was like better experience. They're just different. It was different experiences. So like San Diego is a lot more relaxed, just because like Vegas is just like go, 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 go the whole time. You're up late, you know, you're out late, and then you're up early and you're doing stuff. And San Diego is definitely a lot more chill. I'd say most of the meetups like started either at the convention, or they were like everyone meeting up at like a dinner or a bar or things like that, as far as like the Tarkov community at least.
So when it comes to gaming, I see that most of your streams, if not all of them, have been almost exclusively Tarkov. Mm-hmm. Now, are there any games that you have like under the radar you play for like a decompression? Are there any games you have that you play off stream? Is there anything?
I don't really play off stream. Yeah, I pretty much, if I'm playing a game, I'm streaming. But I do have some plans to, because we're kind of end of wipe. So I'm planning on playing some Valorant on Monday, and maybe I'd get back into some more Helldivers this upcoming week or two.
Democracy.
Democracy.
So So what do you do with Tarkov to keep it fresh for you when you like reach that end game, like end wipe stages for yourself? When you get that cap at container and there's still like 3 months on the books, like what do you do to keep it fresh? Are you all about like role playing, fun scenarios?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of role playing this wipe in particular. And then once I've kind of accomplished all the goals that I like set for myself within the game, then it's like, okay, now it's time to collab. So my schedule for the last like couple weeks has just been like, it's literally full like every day. It's like, hey, I'm playing with this person on this day. We're doing a trio on this day. We're doing, you know, this special guest on like with my own personal group of friends on Fridays. We usually bring someone in and we do like the Sons of Sack. We bring a special guest in for that, and it's chaos, 5-man chaos. But
would you say all the variables and playing with different people, like with Rev Trev and the rest of the Sons of Sack, and playing with special guests, would you say that helps negate burnout that one would experience, especially one who's playing 7 days a week?
Yeah, it definitely helps with the burnout for sure. I mean, like a lot of times, like when I'm playing, if I don't have something in the game that I'm trying to do, it's like, you know, what are we doing here? Like PvP is fun, but it's also like not like what are you can only PvP so much, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you're just like, all right, well now what, you know? So having people to collaborate with or play with, working on their tasks, doing those things like helps give the game a little bit more purpose, you know?
Totally. So Arena being in the spot that it's in, have you been engaging in Arena, or is that something that you're kind of like, meh?
I deleted Arena when Helldivers came out to make space. So I was one of those people that didn't get in right away for Arena. Like I had to sit there and watch my friends play it for, I don't know, 3-4 days or something like that. And I mean, talk about brutal, right? Because like getting to play it at TwitchCon in Las Vegas, and I played probably 10 matches in Vegas, and then getting to watch the tournaments and stuff there live and stuff, there was like so much hype. And then coming back and like, okay, they're gonna launch it, like blah blah blah, and then not being in the first wave, not being in the second day, and I mean not even like actually ever getting the access. I was given an access code through an emissary.
Okay,
that's how I got my access to the game. So who knows when I would have gotten it, you know? And as someone that's like put in like, you know, I have 7,000 hours on my main account, I have a standard account that's got, you know, several hundred, and then I had two other EOD accounts. I did a giveaway for one. I still have an extra EOD account. So like personally right now, I have two EOD accounts. I have a standard account.
Right. And then seeing people who just buy the game, like right then get full access.
I'm like that kind of person that's like stubborn. So I'm like, nah, I'm not buying another account just so I can play the game. Like,
right, especially you know, when you already have three, it's like, what the fuck am I going to do with the fourth one?
It's supposed to be like part of the hype was it's supposed to be linked with the main game. So like, I don't want to waste time on a new account when it's supposed to be linked to my main account, you know? So
exactly. No, that's
but it was fun. It was fun when I did start to play it, at least for a little bit. And then
so for somebody who played on a stage, have you ever played on a stage in front of like actual breathing people before, like in a CSGO or a Blockbuster tournament?
Not a live, what was that live like? Stage. It was really fun to watch. Like the Arena tournament live was so enjoyable to watch. It was super, super enjoyable.
Now, did you get butterflies when you were up there? Did you get a little bit of nerves? Did you like do a little bit of second guessing, or was that not a factor for you?
No, it was fun. Like I didn't play in the actual like creators tournament. Like I wasn't up there with like Landmark or anything like that. I played off on the side, and the just like they had like the main stage, so it was like what 10 PCs up on the main stage, and then they had like another like 20 on the side, so people were able to play in Vegas. Like you were just able to go line up and just go play against randoms, but it ended up being basically the whole Tarkov community was all there at once. So you're up there playing against all these other Tarkov streamers, just having fun.
That's cool, because those are people in your community. Those are people in the same field as you. It's like, you know, if you were an accountant and you went to an accountant convention and you guys were all crunching numbers on a stage, it's kind of like that, only on a gaming aspect. So from somebody who is a 7 days a week streamer, how difficult are taxes to do at the end of the year? How difficult is that to like contemplate all that stuff, whether it be donations, bits? Because I've heard differing stories from differing people. Like, how was that experience for you? And if you don't pay taxes, we'll cut this part out.
It's not too bad. I just like paid attention to in my content creation journey, just going to the different conventions and like meeting up with other people that are actually like, you know, my peers, and talking to them about like, especially larger creators, asking them like those kind of questions, like, how do you deal with this? Like, what, you know, how are we able to write off like specific things? Like, can I write this trip off? Like, you know, making yourself a business, you know, like getting an LLC, or just what receipts to track. Like, what am I like, can I write off like the travel for this? Can I write off the lodging? And it's surprising like what you can write off, you know, because basically anything you do for the stream, say you were to buy like your kid a gaming PC on stream or something, you know, and you can write that off as like a streaming expense, because it's
your camera, your microphone,
internet. It's all for your business. So a certain percentage of your house and the certain percentage of the electricity, if you want to get in that deep, you know. So
I was unaware how deep this kind of stuff goes until I interviewed an OnlyFans girl and we talked about how all the stuff that she buys for her stuff are write-offs. Yeah. And it was just like, wow, that's actually like, I never would have thought of that. I mean, and then just the idea of submitting a receipt for a dildo to the federal government.
Hey, you know, it's you can't. There's no shame in the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, none. I mean, my feeling, like, I was in the military for 8 years. I've been fucked by the military multiple times, and it's a kind of relationship for as much as the military and the government fuck you, they don't kiss you enough. So anytime you can get over on them a little bit, it's always a plus.
I mean, technically, it's for work. So, you know, it's like.
Exactly. 100%. So, Bob or Down, have you made any fishing content for YouTube, or have you ever done like a live stream fishing event?
No, I never did. So like when I was originally doing like, so before I got into live streaming and live content, I was basically fishing to the point where it was like almost a full-time guide. I would say I used to fish salmon and steelhead primarily in the Pacific Northwest. I was fishing 3 days a week. Basically every day off that I had would be spent out, you know, salmon and steelhead fishing. A lot of my content was on Instagram. I had like a lot of followers on Instagram. Like even now, like if you go to my Instagram still, it's like, I don't know, 3,000 something Instagram followers. But like that number has been cut like to 25%. I had like probably like 10,000-12,000 followers on Instagram, but I was posting fishing content there, videos, photos, that type of thing, how to's, doing live stuff once they introduced live stuff there.
Because that must fuck the algorithm though, because I don't know how many people are in the fishing community who spill over into the gaming community.
Yeah, it's surprising a bit, but not like, it's definitely not high. I did have people like when I first transitioned over to Tarkov that like ended up coming into the stream or whatever, and then they like checked out the socials and they're like, dude, I had like three people actually that were like, dude, I already follow you on Instagram. And I was like, what? they're like yeah, like I already follow your fishing page on Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. So I got like a buddy that's in San Diego that we're probably gonna meet up and try to go fishing while I'm down there.
Nice.
And then I've had some other viewers that are just like, you know, if you're into fishing, you're really into fishing, and if you're not, you're really not. So it's like one of those kind of polarizing things, like people love it or hate it, you know.
It's like golf, you either love it or you
yeah.
don't fuck with it.
Yeah.
It's one of those, or tennis, you either love it or you don't fuck with it. No, I totally get that. For me personally, I love fishing. I find it's a great meditative thing. I go out there with a joint and I just smoke a joint and I just wait and see if anything happens.
Now, see that I feel like goes hand in hand like a lot. Like a lot. Like there's a lot of people that enjoy the greenery that also enjoy fishing.
When you're doing that, do you take an indica or a sativa?
Well, back when I was in Washington, it used to be kind of whatever the vibe was. I mean, there's like that. So moving from Washington to Utah is like night and day, right? Because there like every corner is a dispensary. There's a Starbucks and a dispensary, like every corner. You can like literally like Uber Eats, like from a pot shop, like, oh, hey, I need this, and this, you know, like, but then move to Utah and it's like very, very taboo, very, very like illegal.
Oh, yeah, the beehive have, like, state doesn't mess with it.
You got to have like doctors or whatever. And it's still like, for me, I haven't been partaking just because of my job. And like, I operate like a lot of like really large forklifts and things like that. And
that's a no-no.
Yeah. So, just for my own job security and stuff, I haven't been. But like when I was in Washington, it was like, yeah, like everybody in Washington.
Dude, the popping up of dispensaries is so weird to me, because when I was younger, you had to like know some guy's sketchy brother and you had to meet him at the library, or you had to go to his house and there would always be that like Pink Floyd like poster with the girls with like the album covers painted on their backs and their butts are like on like the side of a pool, like, you know the picture I'm talking about. You'd have to go to like some room with a bunch of like blacklit posters and shit like that and buy a sack from a dude. You don't even know if it's pot. Now you have to like walk into a building and sit down, and a guy with a man bun sits you down and asks you, what kind of high would you like today?
It's very so they have, it's like they'll have like tastings basically, like it's such a weird vibe to go into one and they're just like, oh, would you like to try like this or this? And I'm like, sure.
Right. Like,
I'll try that one and that one. Thanks, man. I was coming in here for something. Now I can't remember. I'll be back.
Right. Like, it's very funny how far it's changed and come. And now they're like going to strange routes where now they're like, oh, you want chocolate shrooms? And now microdosing is becoming
very,
a thing.
Very strange. Well, to me, like, what it is the I feel like, honestly, it's just like the government's like, well, it's going to be better for us to get this piece of the pie this way rather than be getting the piece of the pie in other facets. So they're like, if we do this, right, since it's still not like federally legal, like we can be getting money from the legitimate establishments as well as doing all these other things. So that was, to me, that's what I think the end all is just any way that the government can get more money out of it is, you know, because it's regulated, and then they got to pay the business licenses, and then they got to pay, like, you know, for everything else. So they're making a lot more money, I think, off the industry than
they definitely are, because that's money they would be able to tax exactly in the other way. So now they're like, oh, well, we might as well wet our beak a little bit.
Exactly.
So yeah, one of those things. So with continuing on the track of business, so as a streamer, like, Kick is up and coming in a lot of ways. Like, they do pay out quite a lot, but they are run by people who are not as so scrupulous. You have people like Aiden Ross, Johnny Sunmali, you know, people that are not like the best who are kind of running the show over there. Now, with that being said, is that one of the main reasons you're like staying with Twitch? Do you do things with both?
I dabbled with Kick. I dabbled like when the hype was there, you know, and everything was new. I didn't enjoy the interface. Everything from the creator side was like a lot more difficult. Obviously, they're just not as polished and whatnot. But so I did like a handful of streams over there, and like I was able to meet the requirements to like get affiliated and stuff, so that we could like get payouts and stuff over there. It wasn't too difficult as far as like asking my community on Twitch to come over there and do that. And it's just not. No, it's just not for me. It's like so many different platforms to try to keep up with. It's just so difficult.
Right, and you never know which ones are just going to disappear. Like, what's going to be the next Mixer? What's going to be the next this or that? You know, it's a weird thing to navigate. But at least, you know, at least there's options. At least they're not, like, monopolized and we're getting strong-armed by one in particular company. So at least there's competition. So with that being said, when it comes to streaming Tarkov, do you, as a streamer and as somebody who is making a living off of playing a game and, you know, entertaining a community, do you pay a lot of attention to like things like the, you know, the legal things, or no, not the legal things, sorry, like the wiggle video or the video that's like the financial statement that killed Tarkov? Do you pay attention to those kinds of things, or do you try not to like care?
I mean, I pay attention to like a certain extent as far as like I'm just active on social media, but like at the end of the day, it's like I love playing Tarkov, and Tarkov is where most of my content is. But if the game were to ever go away, then we'd be playing something else, you know? And like, you can't just like, while it might seem like everything's like in the one basket with Tarkov, it's just what I enjoy playing. And it's what a lot of my community enjoys watching, you know? So like, if the game were to go down the drain, then we'd just have to find a new one, and that's fine. You know, the ones that like are there for me and my content, the are going to be there, you know, no matter what I play. So, we would just find whatever's next, just go from there.
What age did you start gaming?
What age did I start gaming?
Like, yeah, what was your first like console?
Atari?
Like, were you always a PC guy? Atari. Okay. So, yeah. From the inception of gaming. So coming up, well, like, you know, from the baseline, I started with the NES, and I had just about every system growing up, and there's just so many titles that just, you know, I look back fondly. Now, what are some of the titles that when you hear, they just kind of like resonate with you?
Okay. So like, as far as like older games go, it used to be Sonic the Hedgehog, the original, you know, Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, Duck Hunt, a Beastmaster on Genesis, NBA Jam, Echo the Dolphin, Earthworm Jim. Then once you got to PlayStation, it was like Final Fantasy and Twisted Metal and Crash Bandicoot, all the sports games. I remember PlayStation was like huge for the sports games, like the realistic sports games, you know.
Right.
All the NBA Lives and the NHL Lives and all that stuff. So I played every system growing up. I didn't really always have them, you know, but right. My friends would. Like, I remember when my friend first got the 64, like his family was pretty well off, and they got it like pretty much when it came out, and they had like this huge, you know, big screen TV that literally took up like a whole room because it was so large. And going over there and playing like 1080 snowboarding and Donkey Kong and watching him play Mario and stuff like that. It was, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Gaming's really been a big part of, I think, most of our lives.
Oh, absolutely. So growing up with gaming from its inception to the point where you're at this point where you're making a living with content and playing games, like, how would you say your relationship with gaming has changed, if at all? Maybe so. Maybe it hasn't.
I think, I don't know, because like, I still like, when I'm playing Tarkov, I play Tarkov because I have fun playing Tarkov. It's just the, you know, more fun with an audience, you know. Absolutely. Or someone to like to bounce things off of while you're playing. Like, it definitely made the transition from you know, playing with my friends in like a big group and learning the game into like playing solo and whatnot. Like, it's solo play when you first get started, but if you have like an active chat and stuff like that, like, it doesn't really feel like you're playing solo, you know, because you got people that are like backseating, or you got people that are like, you know, at least like paying attention, or, you know, there to commiserate if you die or whatever, you know. Like, you have like someone else there with you, basically. So
right. Somebody to go through the struggle with.
Yeah, know? Yeah. So you're playing alone, but you don't feel like you're playing alone. You know?
Absolutely. So how long into streaming would you say it took for you to like find your voice, to be comfortable in that setting? Because it does take a little while for most people. Some people are just immediately right into it. Some people it takes a little while. Where would you say you sat on that?
I think I'm still kind of finding it. You know, like it's not like, I definitely don't have a problem like speaking in public or I'm pretty outgoing as far as like in real life and whatnot. Like, I don't have a problem introducing myself to new people or making new friends. I've never really had an issue with that. And so, like, my friends that told me, like, I should get into content creation, like live streaming and stuff, they were like, yeah, dude, you'd be great at it. Like, you should just do it. Like, you're outgoing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So I kind of only got into streaming because they were like, yo, you should. Like, a bunch of them were doing it already. Like, I was watching a lot of my friends play and stream and stuff on Mixer or playing with them. And so, like, when I transitioned over to Twitch, because basically I was going to start streaming on Mixer. Like, I built up the money to get my first PC and get all the stuff to start streaming. And then right when I was about to, like, Mixer just went, you know.
Right, just completely popped.
Yeah, so, like.
It's funny because some people got huge contracts from Mixer and then, like, a month later they were dead. And they're just like, well, I got the money.
Yeah, huge contracts. Yeah, it seems like it was so long ago now. I mean, realistically, I guess it wasn't, but they were then we were, you know, everybody in those communities were all talking like, okay, are we going to like Facebook gaming? Are we going to Twitch? Like, what are we doing? And then so it was like when I started streaming on Twitch, but I already had like such a community within the Mixer community that like it took me literally the minimum amount of time to get affiliate on Twitch because I had all those people from Mixer. And so I already had the follower amount. I already had the average viewers. It was just like wait the allotted amount of time and then we were affiliated. So
right. And just to circle back, like when you were talking about like how different the states are when it comes to like, you know, access to marijuana and like views of marijuana, like yesterday I went to Costco and I got my eyes dilated because I went to the optical center and got my eyes looked at. Mm. And I was standing in front of Costco with my eyes dilated waiting for my wife to pick me up. And I had like three people ask me if I was selling acid. I'm in California, by the way.
Okay, that's wild.
I was like, should I tell this story? I was like, fuck it. Why not? Yeah, it's very funny how different states
have different approaches. Well, you know, also, that's, you might just have that vibe, though, too, you know, because, like, we were in Vegas, and we were, like, in Old Vegas, right, on Fremont, and, like...
Old Vegas is a trip.
Bro, that's it's crazy, right? It's Vegas. Crazy, right? But, like, the same people would always get asked, about like if they wanted like narcotics, like hey, you want some of this? And I'm like, how come they're not asking me, bro? Like they're right. Asking you, and like now you've had like five people ask you. Like, do you just like put off that like that energy? Like, yo, this guy, he wants some illegal stuff. Like, but like the rest, like we're in a big group walking down, right. And it was always the same person that gets singled
you.
Out. Yeah, and then you know what's funny is later. Later in the night, I don't know if you know who Ranger is. Do you know Ranger?
I know of them. I haven't had a conversation with them yet, but I know of them.
He sold some like person a Bic lighter for like $100. Like this person was like, I need that lighter. And he was like,
dude,
what?
That dude was hard up for a fucking
lighter. He like needed the lighter and was like, thanks. And then gives him $100.
Was it like a standard Bic or was it one of those ones with the adjustable where you can go from like pot to meth in like a second?
it's like a $2 lighter. You gave him $100. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like, dude, there's a 7-Eleven like right over there, bro.
Yeah, Vegas was a trip, dude. It was like so much fun, but it was a trip because we spent a lot of nights / mornings out in Fremont and it was crazy.
For those of you who may not have ever experienced Old Vegas is a lot more seedy than like the Strip. I remember the last time I was at Old Vegas, there were these people dressed as nuns who were literally topless with pasties. Yeah. And they were like, hugs for Jesus, nun tits. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Old Vegas is wild. It was
Old
wild,
Vegas
dude.
Is wild.
Got like me and my friends, like we went and like we were looking for a spot for ice cream. And so we like Googled like this place for ice cream, get down there. It's inside of a nightclub. So, like, the only way to get this ice cream is to, like, show your ID. There was no cover charge, but, like, show your ID, get, like, wanded down at the door and patted down, and then you're inside this nightclub, and then off in the corner is, like, this ice cream spot. So, like, we all went into a nightclub to get ice cream and then just left.
So there's, like, dance floor people doing what they're doing on the dance floor. Yeah. This little and Robin's
yeah stand. Bar there's like a long ass bar, a bunch of people dancing, a DJ and everything else, and then like there's like just this like small little corner booth basically that's like this, like it was like a bougie ass ice cream spot too. I'm talking like, yo, blackberry honeycomb with like lavender and blah blah, you know what I mean? I'm like, just give me a scoop of chocolate so I can get the fuck out of this fucking.
Like, they do that stupid thing you see on like TikTok where they like put it on your thing and they lift it off with a stick or they're like prank people with it. Like, bro, come on. This place like is the, already the enough.
Turkish ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, not enough. Up,
oh, I don't know what's worse, having people fuck with you to that regard or going to like a Cold Stone and having people sing to you and be like, this is awkward.
When I was growing up, like all my friends, like Cold Stone like had just become a thing. And so like a lot of my friends were working at Cold Stone. So I'd go in there and just, I wouldn't even get ice cream. I'd just go in there to tip them to make them sing. And just I'd just go in there and tip them. I'd tip them each a dollar and make them all sing. And then I'd leave. That'd be my trip to Cold Stone for the day.
So did you ever work at a Cold Stone
no.
or any kind of fast food eatery for your first job?
No, not for my first job. I had a paper out when I was like 13. Okay. And I did that for a while. I had like multiple paper routes to where I was actually making like a decent amount of money. And then I got like my first like quote unquote real job when I was like 15 and a half. I got into lifeguarding. So nice. I was like a lifeguard from 15 and a half to like 22. And I was making pretty decent money. As far as
you should, because yeah. You're expected to do a lot. And were you doing it like pools or were you doing like beach lifeguarding?
Depended. Like I didn't like to do the beach lifeguarding stuff just because the vibes were, I worked at an aquatic center. So it was more like athletes and
people
like
who know how to stuff. Swim.
Yeah. There's a lot less like having to worry about the public and a more,
you don't just have to worry about getting pulled into a riptide in a pool. You don't have to worry about jellyfish in right. a pool. You don't have to worry about getting your foot caught in seaweed in a pool. Like yeah. there's a lot of benefits to doing that.
I did have to do like some stuff like as far as like in my time as a lifeguard, like as far I had like compound fractures, two different occasions. I had like a guy like that had a heart attack and we had to use the defibrillator on. So like I've done stuff, but yeah, just nothing like super crazy. The compound fractures were pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's one thing to see a bone outside of the body and be like, oh yeah. Shit, that's what that looks like. That's horrible. Yeah. My friend who was a lifeguard at a pool, like he luckily never experienced any of that. He would say like the most common thing he would get with kids pooping in the pool and then having to get everybody out.
Yeah, we used to like, if we didn't want to work the public swim thing, sometimes like we'd like buy like a baby Ruth or bring in like the minis from like Halloween and stuff and like heat it up in the microwave for a second and then toss it in the pool just like as we're walking by and be like, oh, everybody out.
You caddyshack
them. We gotta clean up the pool. Sorry, guys. Here's your passes. Come back again. We would just clean the pool, and that'd be the rest of our night. You know,
that's hilarious. Yeah, like my jobs were always like shitty fast food. Like Carl's Jr.'s was my first job, and okay. So if you're on the East Coast, it's called Hardee's, and off in the West Coast, it's called Carl's Jr.'s, and if you guys know, the mascot is a star. Mm-hmm. So we got the star suit in and I had to put this thing on like a mascot at like Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. And to wear this thing, you had to extend your arms and your legs. Like you had to assume the position of a star. And there was like no bend to this thing. So you had to like lean completely over to like hand somebody a coupon and shit. And like I was at Carl's Jr.'s inside of a mall next to a bus stop. And they're like, Mike, go outside. Hand out coupons. So I waddle my stupid 16-year-old ass out there and I start handing out coupons to people at the bus stop. And some homeless guy gets the idea of like, hey, I'm going to kill the kid in the star suit. Somebody. So he pushes me into the street and I fall. and I can't brace myself because my hands and arms are stuck. No. Like this. So I fall on my face. And I'm trying to like roll over like a turtle on Animal Planet, and it's not happening because there's no give to the suit. And I'm looking through the view slits of the suit. One of them's just pavement, and the other two are like, you know, the road. And I hear a noise coming from my left. I look and I see a bus hauling ass towards me. And the first thought that is mine that comes to mind is not, oh my God, I'm gonna die. The first thought that comes to mind is, what is that chalk outline gonna look like?
Oh my God. Is it gonna be
a star? Is it gonna be like a mangled corpse and then a star?
Oh my God.
I should have went to lifeguard.
Jeez Louise, dude. Did like strangers have to pick you up off of that?
Yeah, or that's what happened. The bus stopped and they helped me up. And the worst part about all of it is I had to do the walk of shame back into the store.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's crazy.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, Bobber, question for you. Everything that's going on right now in the Tarkov scene, when I say scene, I mean the game. Like, with the snow, the addition of, like, that, the event going on currently, how does this wipe match up for you compared to other wipes? You say this is one of the better ones, one of the worst ones, somewhere in the middle. Where would you say this wipe is for you?
I think it's a pretty good wipe, yeah. It feels like a pretty good wipe to me. It's not like the whole VoIP pop thing. Like, that's, I don't know what the, I don't know how to fix that. I would say if I had like a way for them to fix that, I think that would be like the first thing I would fix. But like, as far as like the armor plate system, very cool. As far as an addition to the game, but the hitboxes are just junk. So, it's not, you know what you're getting with BSG if you played Tarkov enough. You know, it's like going to be like, hey, we're going to do this. We're doing too much with this. We're going to end up having to fix this later and deal with it. So, like, I mean, realistically, like, I don't know why people act so surprised a lot of times. I'm like, what in the history of this game has ever made you think that they were going to come out with something clean and it was going to go off without a hitch to the, you know what I mean? So like, as far as like the new content, cool. And as far as like the new map, like, cool, I guess. I don't know. I've spent a whole whopping 3 raids on that map. So, and I went back, I've been back as a scav twice, both times with Toadster and both times just so we could shit on Timmy's. So I'm like, you know, like I don't know the ground zero, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, were we going to actually spend a bunch of time there? Because if someone's like proficiently trying to level, you know, maybe the people that like don't, that play the game like more casually, you know, more just like, or they're new, like, okay, yeah, you're going to spend a fair amount of time on ground zero. But like, I wasn't able to log into the game right away this wipe, which was also kind of annoying, but, it did give me a chance to be watching other streams and be like, okay, I'm not going into that booth with that claymore. And then, okay, this is how I do this task. So then by the time it was time for me to go there, it was just like, I made one trip, did all this task. I made another trip, did all these tasks, did a third trip, and I was no longer having to go to ground zero. So, right.
Do you think it's good to have a map that has a level cutoff cap for the new player base, or do you think they should just be thrown into it?
Oh, they like definitely, if it's meant for what it's supposed to be meant for, like, yeah, they should have a cutoff. I think it should be cut off at flea. Like, it should be like 1 to 14 can go to this map. And once you hit flea market, like, you lose access to the map. And they also said, if I'm not mistaken, that they're going to be bringing back that map, but with access to higher players. Like, higher players are going to have access to that map. It'll just be like a different iteration or something. So,
right.
I mean, I don't
know. Maybe after a set of thing, maybe there's like a big like artillery strike, and then maybe the secondary map will be like ground zero, but like all destroyed. That'd be kind of cool, like a bunch of ruins.
Yeah, like the map layout itself is kind of cool. The spawns are all jank, but like all the spawns on every map right now are pretty jank. So,
right,
you know, if you're a seasoned player, you basically know, like, okay, I just spawned in within like, you know, 5 seconds, you know exactly where you are and exactly where the next two closest people are. And in some cases, that means you're going to be shooting someone in within the first 5 seconds. You know, depending on the spawns, like if you're on reserve, chances are I can take like 5 steps, look one direction, and I'm going to probably line up a headshot on someone that just spawned. Same thing with like interchange, same thing with lighthouse. So like the spawns are not great, but I also don't know what the fix is for that.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, but it's just, I think that just goes to like with a knowledge thing, but you do like, you know, you spawn on the highway out on interchange and it's like, look left or look right. You're going to see someone else that had the same spawn. You're just going to kill them right off the rip. So, kind of sucks, you know, but it's just how the game is, you know, unless they change something, that's part of the game. Sorry.
Absolutely. So, with the implementation of achievements, do you find the achievements give you something to shoot for, or is it something that you just don't really care about and what you just passively get them?
For me, it's something more I just kind of passively get, although like there's certain ones that I like to like go for just because like killing Zorachi 15 times, like that one is pretty fun because he's not hard to kill. It just takes time to like the hardest part of killing Zorachi is getting to there. That location,
right.
But yeah, if someone sees you killed Zorachi 15 times, they're probably like, okay, that's like the average player is gonna be like, okay, that's a little sus. But like someone else, you know, you see that, you're like, okay, this guy likes to farm Zorachi. You know, like it's not right. Like it's difficult, but some of them are interesting, like the snowball achievement. I only know like 3 people that have done it legitimately, so like 9 that's times out of 10, one. If I see someone with the snowball achievement, I'm like, yeah, this guy's probably cheating. Like, like there is like so much luck involved in that task. Like,
oh, insanely amount of luck. Like, yeah. Not only do you have to get a raid with said boss, you have to be the guy to kill him and then be able to survive and then do that with every other dude.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know the math to that. I just know it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, like maybe it'll be achievable on streets when all the bosses spawn together, when you that situation happens and somebody just shoots that flare and then throws an impact nade at all of them, maybe then it'll be real easy. But
I know Amda's done it. I have a couple of EU buddies that have done it and they've all done it legitimately, but like beyond that, it's just you got to be like really 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 good at this game.
So being able to peek at other people's profile stats, do you think that was a major step in the right direction for identifying cheaters? Do you think it's kind of a mute point? What is your stance on the being able to peek stats?
I don't know. Just whatever. It's part of the game. I don't really look at people's stats too much other than like what I do because it's part of the game is I've had conversations with my friends about this too, and I'm like, I think you're a bad teammate if you don't view profile after someone kills you and give comms. Like, that's just my own personal opinion. You could think it's cheesy or whatever. It's literally part of the game. Everyone has the option to do it. And so I think if you don't do that for your teammate, you're a bad teammate. The first thing you should do after you die is, hold on 1 second.
No worries.
Sorry, this construction right, literally like the room right over from me. We're like doing a bathroom remodel.
It's all good.
But yeah, no, as far as like that goes, like that's the only thing I use the view profile for, really.
Totally.
It's just I could care less about your hours or what your KD is or anything like that. Like I report it if I feel like it's sus. I don't really care like what your KD is or how many hours you have. And then other than that, I'm just like, hey, this guy's wearing this armor. He's got this clothing on. He's got this gun. And then I usually go a step further than that and we'll either stay on that screen or remember the name. And then they're like, I'm pretty sure I killed him. And I'm like, well, let me see. Oh yeah, he's naked. Yeah, you killed him. Yeah. So,
so when it comes to the DLCs, whether it be like the stash upgrade, whether it be like the cosmetic stuff, like the urban one, or like the Russian blue white stripe, do you think the DLCs are a good thing, a bad thing, or kind of a moot point? Because it doesn't affect gameplay at any point.
Yeah, it's kind of a moot point. With like the cosmetics, I think it's like cool as long as they don't go like Call of Duty and just like make it like unrealistic. I think as long as it all stays within like the actual realm of realism, then it's fine. Like whatever they want to do.
Right.
The stash upgrade.
Nicki Minaj, Mickey Minaj or like yeah. Judge Dredd running across yeah. the map.
Don't bring any kind of like, I don't need like obsidian camouflage on my gun or anything like that. Like, you know what I mean? If they add like sprays to like the guns and stuff eventually, like that's cool because that's a realistic thing, you know, but probably make it like something you can do in your hideout with the workbench and, you know, the addition of a new item or something, you know?
Right. So there's been a lot of talk about adding a cat or an animal to the stash. Now, is that something that you are pro, con, or no feeling?
Yeah, just no feeling. I don't care. I don't really spend like, I'm not like a hideout main, so you know, just kind of if it's there, cool. If it's not right. there, like also cool. Same thing when like Christmas comes, it's like you got the tree, I craft my weapons case or whatever it is out of there and then call it a day, you know?
Right. I mean, well, you got like the best thing out of it. So what more is there?
Yeah. If I can get two weapons cases, cool. And a lot of times, honestly, if you play as much as I do and you play with as many people as I do, then this wipe in particular, or the last Christmas wipe or whatever, I got two weapons cases and
yeah.
it's just a lot of like, hey, are you going to use these ornaments? No, you're not. All right, cool. Can I get those? Yeah. You know, and then I end up just by the end of it, like crafting two weapons cases and either sell it for money or use it for space. So.
So in the game in its current state, what is your favorite map and why?
I like Streets. Streets is probably my favorite map. Because it's still like relatively new and fresh. There's two different bosses, a bunch of different POIs. The pathing can change raid to raid depending on what other people are doing. The only downside is that you have to deal with so many player scavs, but also like, you know, that can also make it like more lively too, right?
Right, and that helps you bump your XP up because it's just more, you know, more potential things to kill.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I like Streets. I think after Streets for me, I would say I enjoy Interchange. And then after Interchange, I probably enjoy Woods and Factory. So
nice.
Prior to this wipe, I would say Woods is my favorite map, but just, I don't know, the way that Woods has been playing this wipe, it's just not my favorite map. So
now, were you a fan of snow? Because I know some people loved it for the like the visual effects, and some people hated it because of the noise. Like, where did you stand on snow?
It's definitely better the second go around. Like they really toned down the noise from it and stuff. So right. I think it's a lot better this go around. The first go around, like it was probably the coolest introduction to a new game, in-game thing like ever that's ever happened in the game. Like. Literally just like, oh, by the way, ta-da, like here's snow. And then everyone freaks out, you know, and it was super, super cool that they did it that way, I felt like. But as far as just like the audio was a little janky, it's just like super loud. But I mean, what are you going to do? Can't right. be perfect. It was still really cool. I enjoyed it. And, you know, higher frames and everything else. So.
I liked how they didn't tell anybody either. They just did it.
Yeah, like, that was like the entire best part.
Community shit their pants over. What's happening?
Yeah,
what's
happening? I think that was the best part. That was just the way cool. they brought it in. So,
right.
Probably also this last one too. Bringing it in that way, they didn't tell anybody it was coming. Just came back. It's like, oh, that's cool. Right.
So, as a content creator, especially one who does this 7 days a week. Is there any form of content that you haven't really delved into that you're looking to do into the future? Or is it something that you're staying the course and there's nothing that you want to dip a toe into?
I need to do more live, not live, long form content on YouTube. I think that's probably like my weakest space is just like long form content. And by long form, I mean like, you know, maybe an 8 to 15 minute video. You know, I don't want to be putting out, I don't have, I think I'd have to like double the amount of playtime for me to get like 20 minute videos and stuff. Like that's actually going to be entertaining and engaging
right.
that amount of time frame.
Now, would you try to do that as like a series, like a hardcore series or like a narrative series like we've seen in the past?
I think I'd probably just end up doing like full raids, like full raid series, like basically like try to like put like a higher quality, like full raid snippet out for people to see, like on something that's like more exciting. You know what I mean? But
totally.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do. I've done like the standard accounts and stuff like that. I haven't ever done like a hardcore series. I think that if I was better at the game, I'd probably rush to Kappa, rush to Lightkeeper, and then I'd start like a hardcore account and do a hardcore playthrough. But I'm just, I don't know. It did with Bitbot on and everything else. It did take me a bit of time. Like, and you know, it's relative. Like some people, like, oh, like you already have Kappa, blah 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 blah. Like, yeah, like for me, it took me what I would feel like is a long time to get these things because I got, you know, I've died to Bitbot like 40 times this wipe. And a lot of that is while I'm questing or like I had Bitbot on while I was doing the guide. You try getting Kappa with Bitbot on. We're not the same. You know?
What was the most painful Bitbot death?
Let's see. I needed the evasion armband for Kappa. I got disconnected twice with that. So that's fun. Fuck. Yeah. It always comes down, it seems like, for me to that evasion armband too. So it's kind of like my MO.
Well, everyone's got their one item. Like Revtread had forever to find the John B's, and now for you, it was the armband.
Yeah. Even still, I get DMs of people's, found in raid evasion armbands, and I'm like, dude, I have Kappa already. Like, it doesn't matter. I still get screenshots. I'm like, all right, well, and I'm not talking like just screenshots on like Discord or like I get text messages, I get Snapchats, I get Instagram DMs, I get like videos sent to me on TikTok, like basically any way that you like. I'm surprised I haven't gotten like a letter, like in the mail. That's just like an evasion armband, like a printed out evasion armband. You know, like
you're gonna get a fax of an evasion.
Exactly. Armband. Like, hey, I found this.
Like, this pigeon left this on the front stoop. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, that's kind of just, I don't know, been my MO for my item.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, Bobber, if Tarkov was to ever bless you with a streamer item, what would your streamer item be and why?
Yeah. So a long time ago, we decided that my streamer item would be an anti-malding itch cream. And it's like a play on like Preparation H.
Yes.
And it is a PK. It's a painkiller that lasts 69 seconds. And it's got like 4 uses. It's just like a little tube. It'd be yeah.
Would you want your face on the tube or what?
No,
would you want?
It'd probably just be like it'd almost look like an orthodontics or like a toothpaste. So they wouldn't have to change the model that much or anything like that. But it'd have 4
just make
uses.
It like blue or something.
Yeah, it'd be like 4 uses. It gives you like 69 seconds of PK and like endurance like +10 for like that 69 seconds or something.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So what task was the biggest hang up for you? Like, I know you mentioned the guide, which is a lot of people's like kryptonite, shooter born in heaven gets a lot of people. Now, what for you was it this way?
Probably shooter born. Yeah. Shooter born and psycho sniper. If I'm honest, I cheesed both of those this wipe.
Fair. Now, when you say cheesed it, do you mean like you went to like a Venezuelan server and you had like somebody like go in with you? Or
yeah, we like single server queued with a bunch of like the homies from chat and just I just killed them all.
Fair. So I mean, that task is a bitch, so I don't blame anyone who does that.
Yeah, we did that, and we also like helped some other people like do their tasks while we were doing that. We also did like a single server, like there was like 15 of us single server queuing labs, so we got a couple like raids in where we were all the only people on labs, so we got to go around and loot the whole thing and like look for people's hideout items and stims right. and things like that. So
those two items that are only found on labs and the blue right. folder and things right. like that. So when it comes to tasks and the way that they're currently set up, is there any tasks that you would modify in its current state?
No, I think that most of the tasks are really reasonable. They like changed a lot of them around so that they're not difficult. I think getting set up early is cool. I actually just did set up for a second time recently just to kind of prove to chat that like it's not that bad. Like it's really not difficult to get 15 kills with a shotgun and a Ushanka on. Even like I did it on a Saturday and it took me 4.5 hours. You know, so 4.5 hours.
Did you rat it or did you?
No, I just run at things. Yeah, I just run at shit. If I hear gunshots, I just run. Go kill them. Like, I used Piranha. I used multiple different builds where I was like, this is what I usually use. Like, early wipe. It's like a bare bones shotgun, you know? Like, I'm not trying to spend a lot of money, like, doing the task. Like, and I figure right. I'm going to die a lot. So, you know, that's
those rubles are going to go to better use other ways.
Yeah. So like I think I spent like 1.2 million rubles in 4.5 hours and then it was
that's
done.
Not bad at all. That's actually yeah. quite reasonable.
Took me 12 raids, but only because the first two raids I didn't find any PMCs. So.
So at this point of wipe, I know a lot of the casual player base falls off around like, you know, the 2-3 month mark. Now, would you say your lobbies have been pretty noticeable, more tryhards? Would you say your lobbies have been the same as it's been the whole wipe? Like, how would you say your lobbies have been?
I feel like they're less full right now with this event going than they were like last week. Definitely right. less full than last week. But before that, like, yeah, I'd say it's like meh. It's not surprising to run into players in like the 40s to 50s range right now. I'd say I run into more like 30s to 40s players than I do run into like people below that.
Right.
I haven't ran into like a ton of Timmies, but and we're also to that point in the wipe too where I've teamed up a lot more the last couple weeks. Like yesterday, I teamed up with some random guy on Interchange. He was doing a weekly to kill scavs with a Makarov. And so like we just hear him popping off, killing scavs the whole raid. And then me and my buddy went over there and we're like, hey, Makarov guy. He's like, what? And I was like, we're like, hey, you wanna do the event with us? And he was like, all I have is a Makarov. And I was like, that's all right. We'll get you some gear first. And we went and did the event and we all ended up getting out with like 2 minutes left or something, you know. So
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So you and your knowledge of the game and having as much hours as you have, like I know you, like you said, you team up with random people in raid, but do you ever like go out of your way to Sherpa people? Like, do you put yourself out there on like your Discord or on like the Evasion Discord for like teaching?
No, I'm not a good Sherpa. I'm a bad Sherpa. Yeah. I play better with people that actually know what they're doing than I do with like new people because I get frustrated. I'm just like, hey, like I know you're learning the game, but part of learning the game is like, we're not looting all this stuff right here. If you have your task item, we're probably leaving, you know, so right. we don't have to come back and do this again. So I'm definitely not a Sherpa. And I honestly don't even really play with viewers too much unless it's like a community day or, you know, baby, they need help. If it's like someone like my, if it's like my mods and they need help with something, then like, yeah, we're gonna try to get that done. But the general community, as far as like getting to play with each other, unless it's like a scav runs or something like that, then like, yeah, I don't really do that too much. But I'm also usually always, I would say like recently I haven't done as much solo gameplay. So when you're in a group with another creator, it's like, that's kind of more where the focus is, you know what I mean?
Totally.
So if they were wanting to help someone and I was teamed up with them, then yeah, like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But my help is probably just going to be like trying to kill things. It's not
right. Clear the pathway for them. Yeah. Not so much being like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hold your hand. Like, I'm just going to kill everything in your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely valid. So Bobber, next question for you. When it comes to VoIPing, do you use VoIPing for content? Like, I know some people get an idea in their head of the like, oh, this is what I'm trying to accomplish this raid. Or do you let things happen naturally? Like, a good example is Toaster Tweets doing the Green Knight bit to like get his melee kills and also make content based off of that. Now, do you ever go into raids with that kind of mindset? Or is it more just like, whatever happens, happens, and we're just going to roll with it?
A lot of times I'll just VoIP just to kind of get a feel for the player, like if it's in raid, if it's unplanned and it's in raid, I'll just VoIP them just to like kind of get a feel for them. And then I've used it for content too, but it's more just more or less my content with VoIP has just been VoIP betrayals where I dress up like a player scav. And then like I don't do like the short, I have dabbled in some of the short term stuff, but like I do like long setups, like I met a player scav at like the 36 minute mark and I didn't betray him until like, you know, 10 seconds left. You know, it's like we're about to I've done things to where like I'm not actually gonna make it out of the raid. I'm gonna end up like going MIA, but I'm fine with that because like that's the clip, you know. So like my extract's on the complete other side of the map, but this guy needs to go to catacombs, you know? So I'm like, yeah, dude, like, hey, let's go to catacombs, you know? Like, oh yeah, I have that extract.
Like, what is your ideal PMC pretending to be a scav kid? Is it like the hockey head and like a Taz? Like what is your loadout for?
I just kind of vary it up. For the longest time, it was the hockey kit with a SVT and a belt rig, and usually like a DRD, you know, something like a PMC that is not intentionally going to be wearing, right? You know what I mean? But yeah, like I've even like done things where like my buddy like died, he was juiced on streets, and I was like trying to figure out what the other PMC was. And I'm dressed up like a scav, and the more player scavs keep rolling in, I'm like, dude, there's a PMC over here. I killed him. He's juiced, but I can't find his teammate. His teammate's around here somewhere. I got to find his teammate. And then they're like,
brilliant.
And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, come on, help me find his teammate. So like, I use them as bait to draw out this guy that killed my buddy. And then like, I end up killing the guy. And then I'm looting my buddy. And I'm like, hey, it was like me and one of the other player scavs left. And I'm like, hey, like, you can take the loot off this other guy, like the enemy. And I'm like, I'm going to grab this guy's gear, my buddy's gear. And then I'm grabbing my buddy's gear and he's taking the other guy's gear. And then all of a sudden like AI scavs start shooting at me. And I'm like, well, who are they shooting at? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, there must be another PMC around. He's like, no way. And I was like, yeah. And I turn around and shoot him in the face.
The double cross.
That's kill the AI scavs and then just get out, you know. And my in-game name is I was a PMC, so you know when they do die, they're just like, son of a bitch, dude.
So I have seen it like kind of teased, not by BSG but by other people, that scav outfits should be DLC buyable, like that red and white and blue, like a
Olympic. Oh, that would be sick if they added that, dude. People are in trouble. Yeah, people are in trouble. Because I already like player scavs they got to be like the dumbest people in the game, dude. They're just not smart. They'll either like They're either on scavs and they just don't care, or they're like on scavs and they're just like, they don't pay attention, you know? And so like, I just,
or
like,
they're hard up.
And literally, because like, I'm USAC, right? And then like, right, people are always like, oh, how do you get away with this without voice lining? And I'm like, I've been asked to voice line 2 times. The whole wipe, I've been asked to voice line 2 times. And both times I got out of it where I just like came out, showed myself. And then I was like asking them about, I just changed the subject. I'm like, hey man, do you got a brown handled knife, man? I need it for a daily for fence, man. I'm trying to get my rep up.
Dumb shit. Bro, like, I've
ran into scavs, P scavs at check. And I'm like, they're like, hey, we're going over to Lexo. So I'm like, oh man, I don't have max scav karma. Like, you know, oh, it's okay. We'll go in there and we'll get you some stuff. And I'm like, okay. They come back out, dude. And they'll drop me a whole PMC's kit out of Lexos, and then they're like, oh, my buddy's fighting over here, let's go help him. And I'm like, all right, let's go help him. And then on the way there, that guy slips and falls, you know.
Slips and falls.
Like, yeah.
Oh, he's taking a nap, dude.
Yeah, he's not. He's just sleeping, dude. He's just sleeping.
So would you say Streets is the easiest map to get away with being a PMC in disguise?
Long term, yeah, for like longer raids, yeah. If you're doing short term content, Factory is the best way to go.
Oh, I bet. So is that the plan for the long term content that we kind of touched upon, is like maybe these like in disguise raids?
I mean, I've done a lot of them. I think people are finally catching on, you know, more and more. I get more and more sus people, but there's still so many people. Like, so many people are, they just scav a lot. There's so many people, right, that just scav. So,
there are, you know, scav mains out there. They exist. Oh,
yeah, and they're rich, you know, and rich for what? But like, you know.
Well, to be fair, this wipe is probably the easiest wipe to get rich in, because the Bitcoin farm is just very viable, which is great, because like a few wipes ago, the Bitcoin farm was not worth it at all. And now it's like super good.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm never really stressed for money, which is nice. And, even like on raids where I'm like more PvP focused and stuff than looting, it's like you still are making money. So
totally. So Bobber Down, we're getting close to our time constraint. So my next question to you is, if you could give any advice to somebody out there who is, you know, coming up in the scene, who is a little hesitant about pushing the go live button or streaming in general, what would be the best advice you could give to them?
Make a schedule and stick to it. You know, don't be afraid to push the live button, and then, just be active and interactive, like with your chat. I think that's like the number one way, you know, 'cause like when I'm watching, if I'm watching other people, the people that I enjoy watching the most are the people that are the most interactive with their chats. So,
totally. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then just making a schedule and sticking to it. I think that's huge. Even if your schedule is like, I'm only live like 2 days a week, but if you're live those 2 days a week for sure, and the specific time frame that you set up, then like, yeah, you know.
Right. So next one for you, what would be your best advice for somebody experiencing burnout? Because that is a real thing in this community. People do get tired. People do get burned out. People do feel like, you know, like, especially if they're not seeing like huge numbers, like I've been zero, like streaming to zero people for months, like kind of thing. Like, what's the best way to deal with that?
As far as like the burnout with streaming, I would say the best way to handle that is just to like try to make things fresh for yourself, you know. Right. Do whatever you got to do to make the content that you're making fun for yourself, because if it's not fun for you, then it's not going to be fun for other people to watch,
and so, the viewers like, going to notice that.
Yeah, whatever it is that you got to do, if you got to play a different game, if you got to try different things, like, you know, that would be my advice to someone with burnout.
Totally. Well, my kid's about to go to sleep, so my last question to you, Bobber, is well, not so much a question. It's more of a, now is your time to say whatever it is you would like to say, whether it be to thank somebody, plug an event, talk about something that you're working on, charity event, or anything like that. The floor is yours, Bobber.
Man, no, just thanks for having me on. Yeah, If you guys want to catch me live on Twitch, I'm live on Twitch currently 7 days a week, but soon to be five. I think we're going to be cutting back after over a year of 7 days a week. So I'm live Monday through Friday from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. And then on the weekends, usually more kind of daytime streams, and they go pretty long. I'd say I do 8 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. So
nice. And we'll put the links to all of your stuff in the description. So if you guys want to check out Bob or Down, just scroll down, click the link, check him out, give him a follow. Other than that, I would just like to take this time to thank you, Bobber, for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to a complete stranger about all things Tarkov, fishing, pot, and Carl's Jr.'s.
Time. You need to bring back the star suit on stream, dude.
Bro.
Make it a redeemable thing.
If I could find it, I would do it. But it's one of those like things where it's like, it takes up so much room. And like, most of my free space is allocated towards kid toys and things like that. That's the worst thing about having two little kids is all your space is occupied by things that sing. And then they'll start singing at 3 a.m. and you're like, what is singing? What demonic toy is going off at 2 a.m? But I digress. For those of you listening at home, why don't you go outside and touch and or smoke some grass? And we'll catch you guys next time on the comms.